Welcome to the Field Advice Podcast from Valiant USA, where we share technical know-how and updates directly from the field, fueled by technology and hands-on experience. Sustainability means different things to different people, and pinning down a definition has been a significant challenge, especially across the broad spectrum of agricultural production. In today's episode, Leslie Garcia, Associate Director of Regulatory, Stewardship, and Sustainability, and Mike Riffle, Senior Director of Field Research and Development, discuss how Valiant USA is helping growers meet sustainability goals with crop solutions and practices they know and trust.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Field Advice Podcast. My name is Leslie Garcia, and I manage sustainability and stewardship at Valiant USA. Today, I'll be talking to my good sustainability buddy, Mike Riffle. Mike, can you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Of course, Leslie. Mike Riffle here. I'm Senior Director, Field Research and Development for Valiant USA. Just real briefly, what I do is we have 42 people in our group who do the field research for the company. We also have two research stations, one in Illinois, one in Mississippi. And so our main The main things we do is we work with our sales counterparts and we carry out our research program. And that involves, of course, working directly with growers across a wide range of crops.
That's great, Mike. You know, we've worked together for a very long time. I would say, wow, going on maybe almost over two decades now for sure. So we've been in this journey together for a long time and we've worked closely on sustainability. So let me ask you a question. How do we at Valiant define sustainability?
What a great question, Leslie. I say all the time, there's sustainability can be a buzzword. It's actually used as a buzzword across many different companies and out there in the media. I tell you what, though, it's real simple. What we did years ago, several years ago now, when we embarked on this journey of sustainability and learning more about it, the easy thing to do is to look at the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. They have all the work done. You go to their website and there's 17 goals and they're very concisely outlined what each one of those goals mean. So we don't have to define sustainability. It's been done for us. And that's what we did in Valiant. We took a look at all the sustainability goals and we determined, which one of the goals are most applicable to us as a company? And so that's where we focused in. So easy to do. It's already defined. Just go look at that website.
You and I have looked through that website together. We've studied all of the different SDGs, the goals and what they mean. And for me personally, I really am drawn to Valiant and Sumitomo's own definition of sustainability, as part of their company core culture. Just the fact that Sumitomo has this, over 400 year history of environmental conservation and mitigation and making sure that their business benefits society as a whole, as well as not impacting any negative harm to the environment. So I like to say that, Sumitomo was doing sustainability before it was trendy, right? So excited to see Valiant, our own spin on sustainability, and at Valiant we've taken a different approach. Rather than just the single definition of sustainability, we look at it at many different factors, from our products, from our own operations, to even sustainable practices at the field level. And so my next question to you, Mike, since you are so closely tied to the field, is how can growers use products to increase their sustainability within their own operations?
Yeah, good. Another great question, Leslie. And I tell you, if we go back and look at a little higher level, even before we get to our products, and of course, that's our goal, is to look at our products and see how we can fit grower practices. But even, from a higher level, if you look what we did a few years ago when we embarked on this journey, when upper management in Sumitomo and Valiant said, how do we fit? Well, as you know, Leslie, and you were part of our real small team that did this, we went out and we studied other companies inside of agriculture, outside of agriculture. How are they approaching sustainability? And it was quickly apparent that there are pillars that people talk about, the three pillars, and they're mostly around people, planet, and productivity. And so that's kind of the way we focused on how do we fit into people, planet, and productivity. And of course, you know, there's people SDGs, there's planet SDGs, and there's productivity SDGs. So, you know, how can we take a look at those and adopt them for our company? So, getting back to your question. How do our products fit in? So that was a long process. Let's look at our products. Let's look at how they can enhance quality or how they fit into IPM friendly practices or how can they be adopted to improve soil health? Or very importantly, can our products be used in conservation tillage? And so we designed a real nice system to look at our products specifically on how they fit into these various ways to look at how a product fits into sustainability practices. And you know what? I can ramble on about this, as you know, Leslie, because I'm very passionate about it. But I'll tell you what, the first thing we did, or one of the very first things we did, is we started thinking about this. We started making lots of notes and lots of, you know, coming up with lots of ideas. But we went out to the farmers first. What are the farmers doing? What are they facing every day? They see it in the trade press all about, you know, soil health and cover crops and crop rotation and all that. So we asked them, we wanted to make sure we understood what their practices are first. Then we can take a look at our products and see how they fit grower practices. So that was kind of the journey. Of course, there's a lot more story behind, you know, what I just mentioned, but I'll stop there because, as you know, I can go on and on about that.
No. And you know what? And that's great. I love to hear your enthusiasm and passion for the subject. And you know, we've worked on this project jointly together, and you raise an interesting comment with, you know, going to the growers and the amount of information that the growers see on sustainability topics. What do you think is the paradigm shift in agriculture?
Okay, yeah. I've been looking at this over the last several years, the paradigm shift. If you hear that word, paradigm shift, it means massive change, essentially. So if you look in agriculture, you look back in the 40s and 50s, and we had the Green Revolution. That's absolutely a paradigm shift. It was mostly about fertilizer use efficiency and variety and plant breeding. And then if you look in the 70s, early 80s, there was a revolution around crop genetics. And we all know there's Roundup Ready and BT varieties. So that could absolutely be considered a paradigm shift. So there's two. Are we in another paradigm shift? That's my question. If you look at what's happening right now, it's all about sustainability and how to engage and learn about sustainable practices. Is this a paradigm shift? I think it is. We're shifting to biological and products. We're shifting to conventional products that are less impactful to the environment. They have short half-lives, low toxicity. They have a low toxicity to pollinators such as bees. And so these products have to fit sustainable practices that are being discussed at the farm level. What are they? The three really important ones are conservation tillage, crop rotation, and cover crops. If you hear that, you think, okay, then you mean it's about soil health. And yes, that would be true. Increasing soil organic carbon and increasing water use efficiency, increasing fertilizer use efficiency. If you do all these things, you're most likely going to have less runoff, less leaching. And guess what? That leads to off-farm increase or improvements in watersheds. It's all about watershed quality out there. If you look at the Chesapeake Bay area around the Great Lakes areas, they're very concerned about watershed quality. So all of this paradigm shift really is about soil health, water quality, environmental quality. I think we are in a third paradigm shift. I think we're right in the middle of it.
I agree. I feel like with the consumers trying to understand, you know, where their food come from and how their food is grown, there is more public influence more than ever in agronomic practices. And that paradigm shift, you know, the growers, food retailers, questions about, you know, what's being used and how their food is grown comes back to us as we develop products and solutions, taking into the environmental factors, ingredients, components, formulations. All of these things are considered as we go through our R&D process. So with that, you know, Valent has a nice portfolio of products that support sustainable practices. And one that I'd like to focus on is Dipel, which has had an absolute great history. There's just a nice biological fit and story to this product. And Mike, if you wouldn't mind, would you share some information on how growers use Dipel?
Sure. Dipel introduced just a little over 50 years ago. It was efficacious then, and it's efficacious now. It's an interesting product. It's made with a bacteria that is ubiquitous in nature. It was just determined that they could use this in a way to control pests, and so it's exempt from tolerances. It has no MRL concerns because it's exempt from tolerance. It's a real good rotation partner, so it fits IPM practices. It fits enhanced quality of fruits because it protects the actual fruit from pest damage. And so there's absolutely an improved crop production efficiency around a product like Dipel. So there's lots of reasons why you would consider Dipel a very good fit in sustainable crop growing practices.
I agree. And with a 50-year-long history and continues to be efficacious, it just, again, shows you what a great IPM product that it can be rotated with. So excellent. So with that, are there any other brands or products that you'd like to talk about and how they fit into sustainable practices?
Well, Leslie, as you know, the answer to that is of course. Well, there's lots of things to talk about. If you look at our broad line of products, we have conventional and organic. We have many different kinds of pest management products. I tell you what, though, if you want to focus a little bit more in on soil health, and the practices that improve soil health, like I mentioned earlier, conservation tillage especially, Valent has a really highly efficacious line of pre-emergence, early post-emergence, and post-emergence herbicides. All of these products can be incorporated into practices that are considered sustainable on the farm. And I'm not just talking about row crops. I'm talking about row crops. I'm talking about specialty crops. I'm talking about tree crops, vegetable crops. So, you know, we have a broad range of herbicides that fit into all these practices. So if you can spray Valor herbicide pre-emergence and it has a short enough half-life, you know, to where it's not considered persistent, and it'll fit conservation tillage. And do you have any crop rotation concerns after an early application, a pre-emergence application of Valor? No, very little crop rotation concerns. Do you have cover crop issues? Very little because the product is shorter residual by nature. So you can come back in, you can apply Valor in the spring, you can come back in the fall and be wide open on the cover crops that you can plant after you harvest the crop. And the cover crop technology has come a long way over the last several years. They used to just plant a single species. Now there's cover crop seed mixes that have 9 or 10 species, and they're variable, and you can custom order a cover crop system that you're going to plant on your particular farm on in your soil type. So we have to be careful that we don't damage those cover crops when they're planted. And so if you can apply a herbicide, a pre-emergence herbicide, in the spring and not be concerned about what cover crops you're going to plant later on in the fall, that's really good. And also that the same is true for crop rotation. Do I have restrictions next year or even later this year, later on in the same planting year? Very important that we able to, that we're allowed, that we can enable crop rotation, because everybody has a rotation. It might be corn soybeans. It might be corn soybean wheat. It might be, you might be triple cropping if you're in South Florida. So there's lots of things to consider on the farmer practices front. And then finally, sorry, I can go long on this, so I'm, because it's another one that, that we fit, you know, real well on. Finally, most importantly lately is conservation tillage. If you look at conservation tillage, it's a broad category. In fact, the Agronomy Society has a publication that defines all the different kinds of conservation tillage. When you think of conservation tillage, a lot of farmers will say, oh, that's just no-till. Well, not necessarily. There's all different kinds of conservation tillage. There might be strip tillage. There might be never-till. There might be, you know, seasonal tillage. So there's all different kinds. So we have to think about not just no-till, but all these different kinds of conservation tillage practices. All of these things are going to lead to improved soil health. So do our products allow conservation tillage? And yeah, they do across a wide range of different kinds of conservation tillages, especially our herbicide line. So all those are very important when you ask the farmer. If you talk to the farmer first and say, what do you need to do to be more sustainable in your farming systems? And they'll give you various things that they can do to talk about sustainability. And just finally on this whole front, they're being inundated daily from the media, as was mentioned earlier, Leslie, the consumers, the trade press. They're seeing it every day about conservation practices and soil health. So all these fit into a broad, you know, discussion on sustainability.
No, Mike, I appreciate the comments. And from a grower perspective, you know, as we mentioned right up front in the beginning, you know, sustainability can look like different things in different operations. And, you know, it's about providing options to each grower to improve or increase their sustainability within their system. So, like you said, if it's no-till versus seasonal till, we want to be able to provide options to growers so they can make their best decision on their growing area. So, great comments. Beyond sustainability or sustainable product offerings, Valent promotes and partners to encourage a whole operation approach to sustainability. Let's talk about that. You know, we work with a lot of stakeholders, some within the industry, some external. How do key partnerships outside the organizations advance sustainability goals?
Okay. Yeah, sure, Leslie. And you also work very heavily in this area. So I'll start and then you can come in with all the things that you're doing on a partnership front. For my part, I look at the farmer first. So do we have a partnership with the farmer? Yes, we really need to do that, because that's where we're going to learn what they face every day. So we strive to have partnerships directly with growers. Of course, we also work through distribution, selling Valent the Valent portfolio. So we want to have a great partnership with our distributor partners. They have workforces out there, distributor sales reps that work directly with farmers. So it's a partnership between us, distributor sales reps, distributors, and farmers. There's also crop advisors. We absolutely need to work directly with crop advisors. They're out there talking directly to growers all the time. And crop advisors are also very active in all the different organizations that support agronomy and crop science. So they're well connected to the American Society of Agronomy, the Soil Science Society of America. So these crop advisors are scientists. And they're scientists, and I was going to say, growers too. And in many cases, they are. They're farmers and scientists, and they're helping farmers look at and think about sustainability practices. And so, let's see, any other partnerships? There's just a lot of partnerships on the production side. And I would also say that, we have our field research staff and our field sales staff. If you look across the board in Valent sales and FMD, they're agronomists. The sales reps are agronomists. They know about cropping systems and cropping patterns and all the things that we've already discussed, as do the Valent field scientists. And we have our research stations to support that. So it's all kind of one big happy family out here in the field as far as our partnership. So I know that you're also active on the partnership, Leslie, so I'll turn it over to you to talk to about what you're doing.
Of course. Oh, thank you, Mike. And before I share my insights, I do want to recognize too all the work that your team does with field extension in university as well. Mm. I feel like just the amount of contact and relationships that are there at the forefront of research at the academia university level is to be noted. So,
thank you. And Leslie, let me jump back in. Wow, how did I forget that one? The university system, and the scientists all came out of the university system. I mean, I have degrees from University of Florida, Oklahoma State, and yes, absolutely. The extension service is front and center on interactions with farmer practices. A lot of the science is transferred from university, from the extension service, directly to the farm. So they, if you think about a great way to transfer knowledge, that's on-farm demonstrations. And there's lots of incentives for farmers to do on-farm demonstrations. Monetary, product, knowledge, there's all kind of different incentives for them to do that. So yes, thank you for reminding me that the university system, the extension service, is absolutely important to the transfer of knowledge.
Of course, Mike. I know how well your team works with that with the university system, so I just had to mention it. So, from a corporate sustainability perspective, Valent wants to be known and recognized as a leader in sustainability, and we partner with several organizations to ensure that the work that we're doing here at Valent at the local level, regional level, nationwide is amplified and shared with as many audiences as possible, because we want sustainability to increase not just with our own customers, but become more common and available to anyone that's interested in it. There's efficiency gains, there's cost savings, opportunities to increase profit with the implementation of sustainability practices. So for us, Valent is a proud founding member of Trust in Food, and America's Conservation in Ag movement. If you know the Farm Journal, they have a long history with working with growers and telling grower stories. And so through a USDA NRCS grant, we have partnered on the largest conservation movement. So it is a public and private project, and we work with many in the industry to support sustainable ag practices and conservation. We are also very active with, as Mike mentioned, Field University and research. And we are also on open technology platforms looking at cutting edge research. And so there are different ways that we're looking at it, at the grower level, within our own operations. We're also partnering with a lot of third parties from global partnerships with Sumitomo. EcoVadis is a well-known private entity that is looking at sustainability practices within operations and supply chain. And we also have a partnership with SCS Global. They are a worldwide or actually globally known environmental firm that is looking at sustainable practices and being able to certify practices. One of the things that we've worked with them with our Sustainable Solutions business unit is the sustainably grown certification system. And Mike, you know a little bit about that. So
yes, actually a couple of years ago, I went through SCS Global's certification program, and that it's all about sustainability on the at the grower level, and certification by growers to be certified to grow under the SCS Global brand or their whole system of sustainability. And it's not just grower practices, it's people, planet, and productivity. Like I mentioned before, they have a 42-page protocol that the grower has to go through and meet to be considered sustainably growing and sustainably grown. So they have their own icon that you can use on your products if you are certified. So it's a great outfit. They're not alone in certifying sustainability. There are others out there, but I think they have a lot of great direction to farmers on how to be considered sustainable.
Thanks, Mike. And with others, again, we work with organizations nationwide as well as the local level here in California. One of the groups that we work with is the Stewardship Index for Specialty Crops, SISC, another well-known organization working on sustainability metrics with specialty crops. And if you know specialty crops, they can go, they're very different growing practices, very different different growing operations. And so this one organization is trying to streamline sustainability practices that make sense for growers and commodities of various kinds. So we're happy to support them and work with them as they move forward on that endeavor.
Yep. And Leslie, if you don't mind, I know you're not going to ask this question right now, but I'm thinking about it. So I mentioned earlier that it seems to be all about soil health when you really drill down into sustainable practices. Soil health is an extremely important part of being more sustainable. About 7 years ago now, purchased a company called Mycorrhizal Applications. They have a line of products that have arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi in the product. This company learned how to grow arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi and not only grow it, but package it in a formulation that you could apply to crops. So what is arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi or AMF? It's a fungi that forms a symbiosis with crop plants. It penetrates the root system, and it forms this this symbiosis with the crop plants. So the fossil records show this symbiosis to be around 500 million years old. Most plants that you, if you look out your window, most plants that you see form this symbiosis. So what does that have to do with us, with crop plants? Well, when the fungi forms the symbiosis with the plant, it can offer lots of different ways to increase plant health. The fungi provides water and nutrients to the crop. The crop provides carbon to the fungi. So it is a true symbiosis. Without going into a lot of detail, a lot of the benefits of this symbiosis can help farmers produce more yield and more healthier crops. So Valent sells a nice line of products that have this arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi. And you can learn more about that on the websites and find out more about it. There's a really nice story about mycorrhizal fungi, and it fits into this broader category of products that we offer that can benefit agriculture by conserving, well, not only conserving, but improving soil health and plant health, and, you know, by providing these practical solutions for implementing conservation practices. So I had to, Leslie, go back and pick up our wonderful work with AMF products.
No, of course. And soil health remains a critical and priority project for us. When we work with our external stakeholders, we're looking at ways to improve and study research soil health. We're also doing the same with water quality, as well as protecting pollinators and biodiversity. So again, it's back to that people, planet, productivity. As we work on advancing our own sustainable practices, those are the key focal areas for our project, as long as they have a benefit to people, planet, and productivity. And there's a way to showcase sustainability offerings and research sustainability. We're committed to do that. So,
yep. And you know what, I love what you just said, because it talks about people and planet and productivity. It's not just about our products. If you look at the fit, how can we make workers more efficient? How can we reduce food loss or food waste? How can we enhance the quality of the commodity that is harvested? How can we increase the crop production efficiency overall? So there's lots of different areas that we can work on. And guess what? All the things that you and I just spoke about there are absolutely essential to increasing sustainability on the farm. So yeah, it all ties together.
Agreed. And that's why I believe we're so passionate about our projects and why we remain buddies.
Yep. Lots of good discussions over the last several years.
Excellent. And I'm looking forward to more. Okay, Mike, I can understand that this can be overwhelming for some people. You know, we talked very high level with the UN SDGs and all of the complex factors with the paradigm shift in agriculture. Mike, where can growers start?
Okay, what a great question. You know, it's all about resources available to the farmer, and there are lots of different resources. You can start with your distributor sales reps. You can talk to your neighbor. Neighbors are always a good person and a good resource to talk to, especially if they're on this soil health sustainability journey. Also, I would consider talking, like I mentioned earlier, to the Extension Service. The Extension Service they're all over this as far as soil health and sustainability. There are whole departments in university systems that talk about sustainability, and there are a lot of soil health experts. Where else can you go? You can also go to your USDA representatives. You can go to the NRCS representatives. The NRCS has locations all around the country. They have specialists, they have scientists that are directly involved in soil health. You can talk to the, you can look at the Soil Health Institute, and you can find that on the web just by searching for Soil Health Institute. They have a lot of resources that can get you started down the path, particularly as it relates to soil health and sustainability. And finally, the trade press is full of information about sustainability. If you look at the Farm Journal or any of the journals that you receive on a weekly basis as a farmer, they have lots of resources on sustainability and how to start that journey.
And I know our Valent team is ready and willing to answer the call. So if you are also interested, I believe you can also contact your local Valent rep or, again, check out our site at valent.com. So with that, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
You know what? Just looking, again, real high level, I would say either personally or professionally, create your own journey on sustainability. It's not going to hurt anything for sure. It's going to help things. And so take a look at the UN SDGs. The site is extremely easy to find. Just Google UN SDGs and it'll pop right up. Check out the 17 SDGs. They're very concisely written. Like I mentioned, they're very easy to read. Pick out one or two that you would like to work on personally. And then if your company is not on this journey, talk to them about that. What can we do about quality education, zero hunger, gender equality, responsible consumption and production? So they're all there. I would say go check out the UN SDGs and you'll be amazed.
I couldn't agree more, Mike. That is just a fascinating website, and it really gives you a new perspective on sustainability, what you can do in your local area, and what people are doing around the world to support sustainability. So I couldn't agree more. I would also ask, if you are listening and you'd like to learn more about Valent's commitment to sustainability, to check out our website at valent.com. You can also connect with your retailer to learn more about our products. And just remember, if there's anything that you remember about this discussion, Valent is here as a resource for growers and all of agriculture, and we're looking to partner up with you to increase your sustainability within your own operation. So with that, thank you, Mike, so much for your time today. It was a joy to talk to you.
Likewise, Leslie. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Valent USA for the Field Advice Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed today's conversation. For more field advice, find new episodes wherever you get your podcasts and anytime at valent.com.